And then how would you argue against this? And how would you put this in a security context? So, I have a series of questions, and this is what you're going to be doing in your debate. You'll be asking the opponent some questions, and having the two questions I'm going to take out, and you can answer a series of questions. And I said to you, do you agree you can learn from your mistakes? Do you agree that maybe we are learning animals? So be a pessimist. You're guaranteed to be learning from your mistakes. Right? It's an argument. And then what I want you to think about, going back to arguing against it, in this case here, optimists are security risk in organizations because... Can you complete that sentence? You don't have to do it here now, but just think about it. If we had exams in this course like that, I would put it up that way. But, you know, why? I give an example. Because they overestimate... the opportunities and underestimate the risk. Or the opposite. So what happens really confuses people. I could argue against this now, right? Optimists are not a security risk in an organization because they make mistakes and we learn from mistakes. Just taking the same thing and moving it around, and someone says, okay. So one of the interesting things to use a lot is the concept of equivocation, right? And that's what's going on in the debate between Gudhetten's tyranny and Velfoordning. The fact that we're taking in refugees is that going to affect, what has that got to do with the Velfoordning? Is that equivocation? Does everybody remember the ice cream debate about equivocation? Debating vanilla ice cream versus chocolate ice cream? And the son says, I like chocolate. He says, no, I like vanilla. And by the way, I also like raspberry. And having choice is freedom. That's what Americans are all about. So you just wanting vanilla, you're anti-American. You wanting immigrants to come in and believing that it's our believe that it's good to bring in the refugees, you're threatening the Velfoordning in Norway. It was amazing how they did it. I mean, you could see the journalists, they didn't know that she was being spinned. Whatever. this read the book. This is not advanced rhetoric here. So, for example, now, social justice treats everyone equally, even though biologically we are different. To be just, the punishment should fit the crime. From each according to his or her ability, to each according to his or her needs. Women do not have the same needs or ability as men, so they should not be treated the same under the law. Right? You can see all these things could have about 9 hours debate, whatever, but you have to learn to analyze it and figure out how you would go for or against this. Again, the point is, I'm giving these small things, you have to argue for both sides. That's why I want you to train it. Even though it goes against your beliefs, I'm just trying to train you to. So, in a group now, defend or refute the statement in a group. And we have four roles. Annika, can you come down maybe? And you guys, because basically since you're the only woman. Women take less risk than men, therefore they are less of a security problem than men. You can all, you're only six people, so you can discuss it together. Who wants, okay, this row here, Annika, you're agreeing with the statement. The other row, you're disagreeing with the statement, right? So Annika, you're going to have to fight against females, sorry. All right, you have 5 minutes to figure out some arguments. Think about security, right?
So from a rhetorical analysis perspective, what is the relationship between risk-taking and security? I said I equivocated risk and security. Is that the case? No, that's what I did here in that statement. So is can it, and you pointed out in a situation that it might be that taking a risk might be the more secure position. Right? Now, first off, with the premise, is the premise established? Is this a valid premise? Don't forget, yeah, first you can analyze the first of the premise. How do you know that women take less risk than men? Is not the act of childbirth taking a risk? I'm saying you can attack the premise, right? You're attacking trying to attack the logic and find reasons, but you can always attack the premise too. I don't care what you think. Yeah. I know. Yeah. But the point is to learn how you argue, right? Now, how would you do this academically? According to study XYZ, women take less risk than men. Right? And I argued out of inductively, now, saying that, well, is not childbirth, is that not a risky thing? Well, why do women decide to become pregnant? They're taking more risk. And then, okay, you would have to argue logically, is that true? but all arguments can be brought. Go ahead. There's 1,000 different ways you can argue, right? If, going back to this in terms of a Socratic method, we all, and I did it before in this one, right? Do you agree that we are learning, it's very important that we learn. The security of our system depends on our knowledge. Do you believe that we learn by our mistakes? If you never take a risk, you make mistakes, you make less mistakes. So could it be the one that makes the most mistakes and learns is the more secure than the one that doesn't take a risk and never learns? And what I did, I made equivocation between learning and security. Every one of these arguments could be argued against. So when you're reading that, when you're reading the chapter on equivocation, page 8, think about that, right? How would I use this in security arguments? Now, the different ways of avoiding equivocation. So these are classical techniques. So what I would have to do, I'd say, define risk. Now, what are the key terms in information security that you should know, should you have had definitions? And you can use those definitions to argue for and against something. It's nothing. So you should know your definitions of security. So what is a good definition of security? How would that help you argue for this? No. So the definition, that's good. That's one definition. But will that definition help you in this debate? That's all. So it's more a question of definition to avoid equivocation. Right? No, it wouldn't. See, the CIA stuff is not that efficient. Rhetoric. I'll explain later sometime. And I have some definitions of security. At the end of this lecture, I'm going to go quickly. So, start thinking, what are the key security terms you need to define in order to deal with the saint versus Satan debate?
I'll give you some at the end of this, right? Okay, so read the Satan versus Satan debate, the exam question. How would you argue for or against an artificial access control system in security? So the chapters 2 to 5, we have argument by example, argument by analogy, argument by authority, and argument by causes. Example. Basically, using one example is usually not enough, and using too many examples is not good. My theory is that at most you can use, at the best you can use 5 examples. Using one is not enough, but at least over 2 to 3. They should be representative, the examples. In the sense that the individual, the crowd, does not have to make too many. Can we compare apples and oranges? Right? That's a simple type of one. I'll give examples later. And these should be appropriate in terms of context. What is wrong with saying that 22.5% of the students was in this course? Why is that inappropriate? One, yes. What is the yes, the base rate. If we have less than 100, how can you use percentage? You're not really allowed statistically to use percentage in terms of, there is no half students here. Some of you are half asleep, but that's the other issue. Right? So you can always argue on that. Some people use the 22.5 to argue things, but I say, well, you only have 30 people in your sample. Why are you talking about? And you see that they use it all the time. 50, you know, they say the percentage of has gone up 100%. So the virus detection system has detected 100% more viruses. Last year we had 2, and now we have 4. Okay. And people do this, and you just have to go in and understand that they're doing this in the argument. And you might have to do this, right? If you're arguing for something. So these are different ways of arguing. Right? So it could be you're going to say this, but then be prepared that your enemy, if he's trained, can use that against you. So argument by analogy. Why do cars have brakes? Anybody have a, I'm doing an analogy, an argument by analogy. No, just give an answer. Why do cars have brakes? One, this one can stop, good one. Keep going, don't crash. Now, are brakes and security the same thing? Yes and no. So I'm doing an analogy here, right? This is visual rhetorics. I've actually used this slide many a time, right? Is this a good analogy or not? Does anybody, okay, I can vote on. But you, Espen, you sort of reacted. I know you didn't expect it, but is it a good analogy? I'm trying to sell security. I'm saying the reason you need security in your systems is so you can go faster. The reason you have security in your mobile phone is so you can make payments.
people have to understand, you sell security, you sell two things: secure from something or secure to do something. Now, sorry for jumping here, the people online. Should have put this one in. Depending, in many cases, you have that situation. Many people buying secure from something, and many people buying security to. And it's not the same group. And when you go into the room, when you have 100 people here, you're going to be selling to different types of people. And you have to figure out who's the decision maker, who has the money, etc. So that argument, secure to or secure from, works on some people and it doesn't work on others, because they want you to protect them against something. And it is bimodal that I've seen. Most people want secure from something. Here's another visual logic, right? Analogies. I'm using a chain to represent security. And what is this trying to visually accept? Yes, go ahead. Right. And the other one is that it makes... why? So what I was trying to do here now is this is your technical security. Remember, I'm arguing for social technical systems, right? And this is your social security, the controls you have there, right? So it's using that to frame the discussion on social technical security, right? Here's another type of visual one in terms of analogy. I have a statement. A change in quantity has brought about a change in kind. I mean, you're buying computers, computer security, at Co-op, along with your bologna and hamburger. It's become a commodity. Okay. Is that a good analogy? Why? The motivation was to explain to the audience that things have changed, that cybersecurity is different because cyber has become an embedded commodity. It's everywhere. So I was using this as an analogy to say a change in quantity and change in kind, in terms of the argument. This is a presentation I used to talk about the importance of modeling. And I was trying to model cybersecurity in today as it was, say, 20 years ago. And this is the analogy I have. This is a mechanical device. It's called Galton's. Is when you have a randomness coming in, and you drop these balls, and you have these bifurcations going on, and these ones, as you know, would represent a distribution of all the time. So statistically, if you have these bifurcation points, ball bounce there, they bounce there, they will produce this distribution. Basically, what's happened with the internet today is this is what we have. We have a predator-prey situation, and you have a distribution of people that are lucky and secure, and those people that are unlucky and secure. It's a pure random type of situation. And the reason this works is because, and the reason this works is because the law statistically of large numbers. When you have that quantity, you get a certain type of system behavior. And the system today is what is called the predator-prey system. So you have the wolves feeding on the sheep. As long as there's enough sheep and the sheep attack the weak, the system's in balance. Why do credit card companies, why can you buy things on credit cards? One of the reasons is that we have about 3 to 4% of the population that are shopping addicted. They buy too much, and they pay 20% interest. And if they're lucky, they get to go on TV and right? And because of that, you that are lucky and know what to do with the money, you can only pay 250 crowns for your credit card a year. Because there's somebody else in the system paying 10,000 crowns a year for their credit card. And that's what's happened to cybersecurity today. The reason we have the security levels we have is we have a predator-prey situation. We have a large distribution. We have lucky people that are lucky secure and people that are unlucky secure. This is analogies I'm using. So I'm giving examples of analogies I use in different arguments, right? And then I would say to the customer, do you consider yourself lucky? Are you lucky? You know that. You know the dirty hair. Sometimes I put the dirty hairy one on, right? Was it 5 or was it 6 shots? Is that okay, the people. You've seen it or what? Okay. One of the things that happens is that we have the situation in security. I'm making another type of analogy. This is called maladaptive behavior. So I'm taking biological systems and comparing them to cybersecurity systems. And here you have the situation of the Irish elk. What happened with the Irish elk, it became extinct. One of the theories why it became extinct is because the species, in order to decide fighting who's going to breed with whom, instead of fighting each other, they developed these huge horns. Right? And these horns became so huge that they always got caught. In the end, they couldn't breed enough. So they had so much security, and they're using wrong type of security, that biologically the system would help. So if you have too much security, nothing gets done. So I'm making an analogy between the extinction of the Irish elk, which had too much security, right? Had too much security too. And in the end, they got extinct. So you can read about that here. So that's another type of analogy. Basically, that's my comment now, right? You have United States and China going at head-to-head on cybersecurity now. And in order to get the cybersecurity they need, they have to hire punks like Snowden. And then they violated privacy. And hopefully, well, we see, but that's an analogy again. You see, I'm saying argument by analogies, right? Insecurity. Now, he said definition of security, right? So going back to what you have to do, you're going to have to figure out what are the different definitions of security, what are the different definitions of security, of risk, what are the different definitions of access control, what are the different definitions of privacy, personnel awareness. But here I have a definition of security. Beauty is secure. Being secure is about having a reasonable disagreement with your enemies that it's not worth it to attack, and a beautiful agreement with your friends that what you have together is worth defending. So I define security in terms of attack and response scenarios, attack and defense. Right? Now you can have a different definition of security, whatever. You can create your own one. I created this, right? And what did I do? I sort of used pathos to wrap it up. It sounds good, beautiful security, right? Now, it's interesting, this argument works for how many people? The other thing you find about this argument, I need at least 20 minutes to propose this argument. Because it's new. So if I go in and the management says, you have 10 minutes, Kowalski, to talk to the board of directors of security. Should I recite poetry? Right? You have to decide in the crowd the situation. I use this one with the board. Okay. Two slides. Does Ericsson, does Huawei, does Company X want to go faster? Does it want to drive Ferraris or Formula One? Or does it want to keep on driving these type of things? So good security is about going fast and having the correct brakes. Thank you. Pay more money and I go. This type of argument doesn't work. But it's nice. As a professor, I can give you this argument. You understand it, right? It's funny with the Chinese. You get a lot more time with the Chinese. So I actually use this in China. And I don't know if it's worked or not yet. So arguing by authority. So, as I say, what I want you to keep on thinking is how are you going to argue for or against access control, artificial access control systems and security. So, X says Y. Does it make sense that Stephen Hawking has an opinion about artificial intelligence? Right? And people keep doing that in debates. Einstein says, what does Einstein know about security, right? He knows about physics and this and that, but he's not an expert in security. And you see this a lot when people are doing public debates. You know, Einstein said this and that. And it might work if the audience is a bunch of untrained people that think Einstein is a nice guy. So, it's, you know. So in this one here, you can look up the link on this, right? And it's quite interesting. And you guys are going to have to prepare for the... Will you quote Stephen Hawking when you are debating against artificial intelligence in the final exam? Now, obviously, since I did this one, and I'm, you know, be the judges, but and the answer is what would be a logos argument against that? No, what would be a logos argument? Now, can you explain to me, Esmond? I mean, this is a computer system. That is a weapon system. How are they the same? No, I'm saying that's what I would say to you, equivocation. And I would just create doubt because you just did an argument that it can be blown down by... saying your equivocation, saying that these guys are experts in weapon systems. I'm not asking for us, as the security manager of this company, to protect the weapon system. I'm asking to protect the important assets of our company. Thank you, but no, sorry for putting it on, but you know, don't forget I do this for a living, so yeah, I mean, I can turn that around. Okay? And be aware, everything you use, you should have to think of what is an argument against it. And be prepared to deal with that. Right? And what would... Okay, I just gave you the thing now, right? So, I understand Kowalski, arguing against myself. But as we know, as you pointed out in your discussion, that this is an asset. And in all systems, we need to use weapons to protect our assets. Because the enemy is using a weapon. So yes, I think it's important to understand the people who design weapons to explain to us about artificial intelligence. So what you have to do is take the other person's statements and twist them around. Don't say that he's... You acknowledge it, but he's illogical. So it's not a question of saying, well, I think this. I said, yes, you think that, but if you think a bit more, you will see this. All right? The last one we have a lot in terms of argumentation, especially in this business, is argument by cause. And you can always find holes and weak holes in that. 30% of all small businesses go bankrupt after the computer virus attack. Why is this a good argument? Why is it a bad argument? How would you attack this now? Yeah, that's what we talked about. That's good because you remember what I talked about before. Correlation is not causation. Correlation is not causation. People like the alliteration, they like the season. Right? And we go, oh yeah, that makes sense. Sounds good too. Right? But then you say, okay, more in terms of attacking the person now. Okay, Kowalski, do you know the statistics on how many small businesses go bankrupt every year? Is there a correlation between the fact that 30% of all businesses, small businesses go bankrupt every year? I was using information out of context. All small businesses go bankrupt. We don't know what has to do with the virus. Okay? That's how you would argue against that one. Now, and that's the case too. They always argue with fire, but then you can go back to show how an insurance and things like that for the 9/11 turns a backup. It's the same thing there. How many people that don't have backup go out of business when something occurs. But they go out of business anyways. So you have to put the information in a context, one, that is to your point, two, that the crowd will understand. And to put something in context, you have to use ethos, pathos, and locus. So for example now, you would question, okay, what's your source? Pathos. I'm arguing for the thing. You know what it's like to go bankrupt? And everybody can have that feeling what it's like to go bankrupt, right? So even if there is no cause relation, if there's a 1 in 100 chance that this is going to happen, do you still want to take that chance? Take the embarrassment of going bankrupt? That's the pathos type argument. All right, so that's the chapters 1 to 5. I say what I want you to do is look for these arguments and write down if I'm going to argue by analogy for Cyber-I, against Cyber-I, if I'm going to argue by cause for or against, that's what you should be doing now. Okay. And I say in the next lecture, we have some PowerPoint karaoke, and read chapters, the rest of the chapters, and be prepared to some of the fallacies. There are different types of fallacies. There's logical fallacies that are constant, been constant for the last 3,000 years, and you should know about them and practice them. No, you don't have to know about them, but you should practice them. And about security. It's not rhetorics, it's security. Okay. Read newspaper articles. That's all you have to do really in this course. But even you can read scientific articles. I have one scientific article I was going to put in front because they really use bad rhetoric in scientific articles. They keep arguing and arguing. They keep a lot of ethos. So X said this and Y said that and who are X and Y. But because someone said it, it has to be true. And if you go look at the reference, this guy said nothing like that. And I am a referee in some of these things, and I see this, about 30% of the references that are equivocation. And I could reject the paper on equivocation, but since it's the standard practice in our business, I don't usually do it. It'd have to be like 100% equivocation before I would reject it. because don't forget, a lot of these techniques are not known by the enemy or the audience. And remember, you cannot outthink someone who doesn't think. Right, so figure out the enemy or the crowd, and if they think this way, if they think from ethos, pathos, and logos, or pathos, logos, and thing, you have to use that in terms of rhetoric. But you have to have all three. All right, thank you. And again, don't forget to book. If you want some private time, I'll put up some stuff on the webpage, office times. And I find that the office times usually are beneficial before you come to the exam, because being questioned one-on-one, being in a classroom, you can always hide behind the crowd. But in the exam, there is no crowd. It's just you and your opponent. And the camera.